Thank you. It's great to be here to talk a little bit about our technology here today, and also in my role as the Director of Feedstock Development for DDCE, the impact that cellulosic ethanol can have for farmers out there. Growing up, I grew up in North Dakota, and it's as Dick had talked about, the impact that corn ethanol has had in the timeline that we've gone through in terms of development from just a small niche industry to now being almost 10% of our nation's fuel source. It's been amazing growth and item for rural development out there, and it's been great to see that out in some of these small communities. At DDCE, we look for that opportunity to continue expanding with cellulosic ethanol, and not only through harvesting cellulosic crops like corn stover, but also for farmers in areas traditionally more in the southeast where you can have a dedicated energy crop that becomes one of the key components of the biorefinery's feedstock supply. So today I'm going to talk to you just briefly about DDCE, the background of the company and some of the technology that we're working on, and then talk a little bit more about the efforts that we have out there in the field working with farmers today. So briefly, DDCE is abbreviation of DuPont Danisco Cellulosic Ethanol. We're a joint venture that was formed by two small companies, DuPont and Danisco. DuPont, as many of you know, is a leader in the biochemicals industry. And Danisco, some of you may or may not be familiar with that. They actually own an enzyme company here in the U.S. called Genencor, which supplies a good portion of the enzymes to today's corn ethanol industry. So about 2.5 years ago, the two companies joined forces and combined not only a significant capital investment, but also their IP related to cellulosic ethanol to bring together a comprehensive solution that we could convert corn stover and switchgrass and other energy crops into ethanol. So together, the two companies have been working on a cost-effective biochemical solution to convert those feedstocks. We currently have a 250,000-gallon-a-year demonstration plant down in Von Ohr, Tennessee, that's up and operating. And the commercial plan is to have a commercial demonstration facility in operation by 2013. And really what cellulosic ethanol does is it provides us a backbone of, or a bridge to say, of going from expanding from the corn ethanol that we have out there today and leveraging the knowledge that we've gained from producing corn ethanol and looking at a whole host of other feedstocks that we can incorporate into producing ethanol, as well as chemicals and biofuel products that can be derived from it. So we look at cellulosic ethanol as one of the opportunities to continue expanding our nation's assortment of energy. This picture here just shows a snapshot of the demonstration plant that we have in Von Ohr, Tennessee. It's a very nice integrated R&D facility and demonstration plant. And the overall process is fairly similar to a standard ethanol plant. We take feedstock in, go through a pre-processing step. There's a couple of extra steps. We bring it into a pre-treater where the lignin and cellulose are separated apart. Then the stream goes into the saccharifier where the bonds between the cellulose and hemicellulose are broken down. And finally, we take them into the fermenter where the C5 and C6 sugars that are in the cellulose and hemicellulose can then be converted into ethanol. Overall, it's a very sustainable process. We have, instead of a corn ethanol plant where you typically have a byproduct like distiller's grain, our major byproduct is a lignin stream, which will be utilized most likely in the biopower industry. And so from a commercialization standpoint, we've made cellulosic ethanol in our plant. We're doing the research and collecting the basic data now to scale up to a commercial size facility. And our business model with the strength of our parents allows for a rapid scale out in terms of production capacity over the next several years. So we're focused on creating good technology for the industry and working with customers that can bring that technology then into production. One of the key things for us is having clear and consistent policy, which is something that I think the entire renewable fuels industry relies upon. And the key driver for our market is the renewable fuels standard. So as was mentioned earlier, there's effectively a limit on the mandated amount of corn ethanol out there in the marketplace. And the primary growth over the next 10 years or so is going to be within cellulosic ethanol or cellulosic biofuels. The demand or the market for that under the renewable fuels standard expands up to 16 billion gallons by 2022. So I'll shift basis a little bit here and talk a little bit more about commercializing feedstocks for DDCE and what we're looking at and working with today. Right now, we're focused initially on corn residues and partnered up down at the University of Tennessee with a state consortium down there and working on switchgrass as well. Corn stover is more familiar, though, up here in Iowa. And what we see is that corn farmers are continuing to push their yields higher and higher. And what that creates is a corresponding increase in the amount of stover out there. To the extent that many farmers are now looking at, how do I manage the amount of residue out there in the acres that I have sustainably while not constraining the potential yield on my grain? So that's the partnership that we view in terms of being able to work with farmers and collect corn stover from them. When you look at the areas where corn stover is prevalent, it's of course in the traditional Corn Belt or the Midwest. You can see here, shade in green is the intensity of the availability of corn stover across the Midwest. And then there's also push pins or markers there where there's corn ethanol plants. So for our business model, we look at closely working with some of the existing corn ethanol facilities out there today. To license technology and bring an add-on system to also create cellulosic ethanol for that facility. We're not the bolt-on application, though, where you would tie it directly in to a corn ethanol facility, but it would enhance the product mix that's coming out of an ethanol facility. From an availability standpoint, traditionally corn stover is looked at to be at roughly a 1-to-1 ratio in terms of corn grain yields. So if you increase your grain yields, and we're seeing average grain yields in central Iowa here of 180 bushels per acre, that equates to approximately 4 dry tons of stover out there in the field. Our goal is not to remove all that. You need a certain amount for sustainability purposes. And the amount of stover that you remove impacts your nutrient balance, it impacts your soil organic matter, it impacts soil erosion, and also water and temperature dynamics as well as compaction. And with the connections here locally with a small seed company that DuPont is tied in with or owns called Pioneer, we've worked very closely with some of the engineers and agronomists there to better understand what are the impacts of removing stover and how can we optimize that best for the farmer and the ethanol plant combined. So from a supply chain standpoint, what we're working on is creating, in some ways, a new supply chain where you go out, contract with farmers, collect the biomass, store it, transport it, and bring it into the facility. And this all involves working with optimizing the technology, the economics, as well as the sustainability, which is a key role when you're especially removing a residue component like this. So we're working on best practices inside DDCE to ensure that we meet all these needs. And finally, I'll just summarize a little bit of what we've done in the past year. We went out and did a corn stover test harvest in several states this year. One of the areas was central Iowa here. And we worked with farmers, developed mutually beneficial contracts for harvesting that stover using a custom harvest crew. Along with those efforts, we had an extensive research and development program, which is monitoring everything from the storage of the materials at different moisture contents through the logistics of the equipment of the field and collecting data on the GPS movements and speed and fuel usage of those implements. So our program this year was focused on providing answers not only for our first plant but for our future customers' plants and understanding what are the main triggers to pull in harvesting corn stover. So a couple of pictures just to close out the presentation. Some people think of pulling off corn stover, corn residues is taking everything off the land. It's not. When you look at the picture on your left, it shows just what it looks like before the corn stover was removed, and the picture on the right is after the stover has been removed. Typically, you're taking off about 1.5 to 2 dry tons per acre, depending upon the grain yield in an area. And you're using machinery that's out there and available today. It includes balers, bale stackers, rakes, and flail shredders. So it's not technology that's going to be hard to bring to market. It just takes a little bit of time to develop that supply chain. So with that, I'll close the presentation and just appreciate the chance to speak with you today a little bit about our technology and really reflect on Dick's comments about the fact that where we were 30, 35 years ago within the corn ethanol industry, we're I'd say past that point at least within the cellulosic ethanol industry, but still very much an emerging industry. And within the next decade or so, we want to be at a point where we're partnered with the corn ethanol industry and providing a diverse mix of feedstocks and fuels to go into our nation's automobiles. Thank you.